Good afternoon, and welcome to the conference on the results of the first 9 months of 2015 of Gamesa. And we have with us the president of the company, Mr. Ignacio Martín, the business CEO, Mr. Xavier Echeverria, and the CFO, Mr. Ignacio Artazgo. I would like to give the floor to Mr. Ignacio Martín, the president. Thank you very much, Cristina, and good afternoon, everybody. We are now going to deliver the presentation of results of the third quarter, and we're going to see that these results that we consider to be very good results are results that are fully in line with our expectations, both in the short and the medium and the long term. 9 months ago, we presented the guides for these guidelines were very ambitious because they represented an increase of about 50% in terms of EBIT operating results before taxes. So in other words, these were very aggressive figures, and with the results that we are presenting here today, you can see that we are going to reach the end of the year in a very comfortable manner. On the other hand, our order intake in these 9 months has also allowed us to see that the objectives that we've set in the 2015-17 plan that we presented to the markets halfway through June is something that is also in line as regards achieving these targets in a comfortable manner. But what I would like to point out before we open the presentation is that the merit of the things that are being done at the company fundamentally arises from transforming the increase in volume into results and profitability, which is no easy task. Now that we have double-digit increases and very high double-digit increases, and this is definitely not easy. And this growth is also a healthy growth from the point of view of the fact that it's a growth that, like all of you know, we've repeated this many times in the past, it pays lots of attention to break even to the fixed costs. In other words, it's a company which, as we've mentioned several times, that is ready to be able to enjoy the high part of the cycle, and it can also work in the low part of the cycle. And without further ado, I would now like to give the floor to Xavier Echeverria, who's our business CEO, who's now going to open the presentation that will be supplemented by our CFO, Mr. Ignacio Artazgo. Good afternoon. And as has just been pointed out by our president, the results of Q3 and of the first 9 months of 2015 are fully in line with the yearly objectives and with the commitments that we can find within the business plan 2015-17. The pillars upon which these targets are based are three. Firstly, we have a strong commercial performance. We also have profitable growth, and we also have a sound balance sheet. As regards our commercial performance, our strong commercial performance, the intake of orders signed in the last 12 months reaches a figure of nearly 4 gigawatts. And the order book that is still pending supplies exceeds 3 gigawatts, and the figure is 3,034 megawatts, which accounts for an increase of 42% compared to last year. And specifically, the orders signed in Q3 of 2015 are 1,007 megawatts, in other words, 16% higher than the figure reported last year. And then we have the second very important pillar, which has to do with profitable growth, that is in line with the 2015 guidance. And this means that our sales have increased 30%, or in other words, they've now reached a level of 2.5 billion euros in the first 9 months. And this growth is profitable because the EBIT has exceeded 67% relative to the figure for last year, and now the net figure is 206 million euros. And a margin, an EBIT margin of 8.1%. And then net profit also represents a significant increase, nearly 90% relative to last year, and it now stands at a net figure of 122 million euros. And then the third fundamental pillar that Gamesa based its results on has to do with a sound balance sheet, and we've improved the balance sheet year on year, and we've fulfilled long-term commitments, and the NFP/EBITDA ratio in these first 9 months reaches 0.1 times, which represents a very significant improvement compared to the ratio of 1 year, which was exactly 1.0 times the EBITDA financial debt. Our commercial strength, as we saw before, is also based on an order intake diversification and new product penetration. And we also have a very high degree of visibility of volumes in the medium and short term. As regards to diversification of products and penetration of new products, it has to be said that our products in the last 12 months have come from more than 25 countries. So we've maintained an important degree of leadership in emerging countries and a significant amount of growth in developed countries too. And in this last case, the volume is multiplied by 2 compared to 1 year ago. So this means that it's 35% relative to the total number of orders received in the last 9 months in Gamesa. But in particular, the geographical breakdown shows that our orders reach, well, the order intake of these last 9 months reaches a figure of 2.8 gigawatts, which accounts for an increase of 31% relative to the figure that was reached 1 year ago. And as regards the penetration of new products, well, the launching of the G114 rotor on the 2 megawatt platforms and on the 2.5 megawatt platforms have made a contribution of 47% as regards order intake in the first 9 months of 2015. So, therefore, our technological leadership is now becoming a very important element in the market. So, together with this order diversification and new product penetration, we also have, in terms of our commercial strength, we have volume visibility in the short term. Because, as already mentioned, the order book at the end of September amounts to 3 gigawatts, or 3,000 megawatts, or in other words, an increase of 42%. But specifically, what we can see is that the order intake figure of the last 9 months, as mentioned previously, now stands at 2.8 gigawatts, or in other words, it's 31% higher than what we did 1 year ago. And visibility for the next few years, or rather the order book, now reaches 3 gigawatts, which accounts for an increase of 42% relative to the 2.1 gigawatts we had 1 year ago. So this commercial activity is something that is fully in line with the volume range of the business plan 15-17, and it provides 100% coverage of our activity in 2015, and it also improves the ratio of order intake relative to sales in the period, and the figure is now 1.23 times this ratio in terms of order intake to sales relative or compared to 1.18 we had 1 year ago. So it's clear that Gamesa is working in the short term, but we are increasing our visibility in the long term too. And there's no doubt that the evolution of commercial activity has placed us in line with the volume range projected by the business plan. We've already mentioned, as you know, that this business plan 15-17 has an order intake level between 3,500 and 4,800 megawatts, and we, in the first 9 months, as regards to the order intake of the last 12 months, you can see that the figure is 4 gigawatts. And 1 year ago, this figure was 3 gigawatts. So, in other words, in this last year, the order intake of the 12 previous months represents an increase of 31%, or in other words, it was 3 gigawatts 1 year ago, and now it's 4 gigawatts. So, in net figures, we're talking about another 1,000 megawatts in terms of order intakes compared to what we had last year. So this commercial strength that presents in numerical ratios, together with what we've already said about the penetration of new products and order intake in developed countries, as well as visibility in the short and medium term, this commercial strength allows Gamesa to consolidate its growth in terms of sales, which is 30% higher to what we had 1 year ago, and 23% at constant exchange rates. And this strong growth in sales has been pushed by a strong growth growth in the sale of wind turbines, which means 26% more compared to one year ago. In these first 9 months, sales of wind turbines have reached a figure of 2.2 billion euros, or in other words, it's 35% more. In terms of operations and maintenance, with a 7% increase in revenues, the figure now stands at 345 million euros. We've seen our commercial strength, and we've seen our growth in sales. Within our policy for profitable growth, what we can say is that the EBIT this period has increased 67% compared to the EBIT of one year ago, with a margin increase of 1.8 percentage points year-on-year. Specifically, the figure of EBIT that we reached in the first 9 months of this year is 206 million euros, which, as I mentioned before, this accounts for 67% increase compared to last year. The EBIT percentage is 8.1%, or in other words, there's been an improvement of 1.8 percentage points relative to what we had one year ago. In particular, the third quarter has also produced lots of growth and profitability for the company, and the net EBIT result is 71 million euros, or in other words, it's a 73% increase relative to the Q3 of 2014, and we have an EBIT percentage of 8%, or in other words, 2 percentage points higher than the Q3 of 2014. So the levers that Gamesa bases its profitable growth on are rising sales, a strict control over structural costs, and also an ongoing optimization of variable expenses within the continuous improvement processes and a net positive currency effect. So all of this is based on a strict control of our debt and in context of rising activity. And we maintain the solidity of our balance sheet as one of the priorities of the company. And as we've already seen, the activity of this period has grown 26%. And it was 1,800, but it's now 2,300 megawatts. And in this environment, with more and more activity, we've been capable of reducing our net financial debt by 70 million compared to the 308 million euros we had one year ago. So this means that this ratio reaches levels, or the best levels for many years at Gamesa, and now it's 0.1 times the net financial debt EBITDA compared to the ratio we had one year ago, which was one times the EBIT debt. So our levers, our objectives that are based on rising profitability. We also want to have a strict control of working capital and a good planning of investments. And all of this increasing a dividend to be paid in Q3 of 2015. But I would like to finish this part of the presentation by focusing once again on one of the most important priorities that this company has, that has to do with the health and safety of all of our workers. And the safety indices, both in terms of frequency and severity, are fully in line with the targets. And the frequency index has reached ratios of 1.37. And the severity index, the figure is 0.021. And now I would like to give the floor to Ignacio Tarkov, who's the CFO of Gamesa. Well, thank you very much, Xavier. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Ignacio Tarkov. And let's now move on to the results of the fiscal year in detail, and let's take a look at the key figures, or the key indicators. As you can see on page 13, we have differentiated things to add more clarity to the financial information. We have a difference between the recurrent P&L account with Adwin and the reported P&L. But let's move on now to the data for the quarter. We can see that in Q3, all of the magnitudes that represent the quarter, in all of them we've had a solid positive trend that is very in line with the trend that we had in Q2 as regards sales. In Q3, we've reached a figure of 882 million euros, which represents an improvement of 30% compared to 2014. Equivalent megawatts, it's 819 equivalent megawatts in the quarter, which represents an improvement of 27%. Then operation and maintenance has been 121 million euros, which is 9.5% increase relative to the previous year. Then we have the underlying EBIT for the quarter. It's 71 million euros. In other words, it's 73% an increase compared to the previous year. Then as regards margins, the EBIT margin for the quarter is 8%, which is an increase of 2 percentage points relative to Q3 of 2014. We stand at 8.1% of the EBIT margin, which is 8 percentage points increase. The net profits, it's 36 million euros in this third quarter, and in the nine months, we're talking about a net profit of 122 million euros, which means that we've multiplied by two the net profit we obtained in the first nine months of the year 2014. Now we can see the figures. We can see the figures that have been reported, including Adwen. What we can see that as regards EBIT, the EBIT in the third quarter is identical to the pre-Adwen EBIT. There's no change. In the nine months, the EBIT, including Adwen, went up 29 million euros because of the capital gains and because of the setting up of the joint venture with Adwen. As regards the net profits, what we can see is that Q3 presents 29 million euros, and these 29 million euros have been influenced by the negative effect produced by the consolidation of Adwen, and that's been 7 million euros. As regards nine months, well, we can see that we have practically the same accumulated result because the capital gains brought about by the creation of Adwen and the results arising from the consolidation of this period of Adwen, well, basically, both things compensate each other. In the balance sheet, we can see that the working capital totals 365 million euros, which is a 17% decrease relative to the previous year, and it's a working capital of 10.6% relative to revenues, which is 6.2 percentage points less than last year, which is 17% relative to revenues. The net financial debt, it's 17 million euros vis-à-vis the 308 reported for last year. In other words, this is a significant reduction of 238 million euros. In any case, this net financial debt does not represent the net financial debt we'll have at the end of the year because we do have working capital effect because of the seasonality issue, which is something that we've also had in the past. Moving on now to each one of the divisions and in terms of wind turbines, what we can see is that growth has been consolidated. It's been eight successive quarters in which we've had double-digit growth. We have an activity that is in line with the volumes committed for 2015, something like 3,100 megawatts that are already covered by the order book. This means that in these nine months, we've had a 26% increase compared to the nine months of 2014, and it's 26% in the quarter year-on-year, as we saw before. As regards the evolution of the average price per megawatt, we can see that the ASP in these nine months has gone up 7.5% relative to the first nine months of 2014, and the figure is now 0.95 versus 0.88 last year at nine months. This is perfectly in line with expectations we had for the year 2015. Here there's a positive currency effect of 7% year-on-year, and we also have a positive effect arising from the introduction of new products and the G114, 2 megawatts and taller towers. We also have a negative effect that has arisen from the geographic mix because we have a greater contribution by China and India, where they have lower average prices, or they have had in these first nine months of 2015. In any case, and as we've explained in the past, it's important to underscore that this evolution of ASP is not indicative of the level or the trend of our profitability, and that as regards markets, we can see that there's a price trend that is more or less constant for the same market and for the same product, generally speaking, that is. Now continuing with the wind turbine activity, geopolitical geographic diversification and client diversification is one of our main characteristics, with a commercial presence in 18 countries and with commercial offices in 18 countries. We have installed 33,500 megawatts in 50 countries, and we have relations with over 200 customers, utilities, IPPs, financial investors, and self-providers. And all of this means that we have a geographic mix that is very balanced and very diversified, where the United States accounts for 11%, 15%, China 28%, India 25%, Latin America 21%, is Europe and the rest of the world. So we have a very diversified presence, geographically speaking. And as regards clients, we also have a presence in different kinds of places and different kinds of customers. IPPs account for 44% and utilities 40%, and they're growing significantly relative to last year, and 16% are other kinds of clients. So all of this means that we have growing profitability in terms of wind turbines, in which cost containment and continuous improvement and quality leadership programs support the improvements in wind turbine profitability. And thanks to this, we are capable of compensating for cost pressures that also are caused by growth and by the launching of new products, where the fulfillment of the standards is something that is postponed or has been postponed a few months, and that we have the currency effects that are sometimes positive and sometimes negative. But this means that in these last quarters, we have managed to obtain a growing evolution of the margin. It used to be 7.5% of EBIT margin in terms of wind turbines in the first semester, and now it's 7.6 in these first 9 months, which means that in Q3, we have made an EBIT margin of 7.7% in wind turbines, which means that it's an improvement of 2.5 percentage points relative to the previous year. And then in terms of operation and maintenance, we have sales growth and profitability growth. So this is in line with the projections we have established for the year. As regards the quarterly trend in terms of revenues, well, you will see that things are growing. And in the first quarter, it was 9.5% in terms of revenues compared to last year, with an EBIT margin of 9.7%, which is very in line with the EBIT margin we had in Q3 of 2014, where you can see that this EBIT margin is slightly lower compared to other quarters, and this is due to the seasonality of the operating margins because of more operation or preventive maintenance operations that we have to carry out in this third quarter. And we've also improved sales by 7%, or revenues by 7%, and we've increased the EBIT 10.3%, and it now stands at a figure of €41 million, which represents an EBIT margin of 11.7%, which is higher than what we had accumulated last year, which was 11.4% in 2014. So as regards the consolidated group, the evolution of EBIT margins in 2014 all the way to 2015 has been influenced by a higher level of activity with a more rationalized structure and with a continuous improvement of variable costs and a favorable exchange rate trend. But if we were to look into the EBIT margins between 2014 and 15, it was 6.4%, and now it's 8.1% of EBIT margin. And where the volume effect is favorable, and it represents an increase in margin of 1.6 percentage points, and we have a contribution margin effect that makes the contribution margin drop by 0.3%. And where the improvement in variable costs allows us to compensate a negative effect arising from the mix in sales, and especially because there's a much greater participation of wind turbines vis-a-vis operations and maintenance, with a contribution margin lower in terms of wind turbines. And we also have some effects of large costs because of the new launches. But in any case, the margins are relatively stable. With this decrease of 0.3%, we have contained fixed costs that affect us by 1.3%, so they're growing much less than the increase in revenues. In other words, fixed costs are stable compared to the previous year, in spite of the very strong increase in our activities and revenues. And then finally, we have a currency effect that at 70 basic points, which is positive compared to the year 2014 in these 9 months, and it has decreased in relation to the first semester or the first half of the year, because the exchange rate was 80 basic points and now we're talking about 70. So this in Q3, you can see that there has been a reduction in the improvement of the support that has been provided by the exchange rate, and this is fully in line with the plan. If you remember, in the guidance we said that it was 50 to 60 basis points, and that is the impact of the currency exchange compared to 2014. And this is, well, we are now walking along this path, and towards the end of the year, we think that we'll reach that figure of 50 to 60 basis points. And as regards the working capital, we're still working on optimizing this working capital, and we have reduced the working capital by 70% relative to the previous year, with an increase in activity of 26%. And we've already mentioned the figures and the percentages before, but also as regards the average working capital for these 9 months, we've also increased the average working capital figure from 16 to 20%. And all of this evolution this is fully in line. The working capital is fully in line with the guidance we gave to the market, and we trust that by the end of the year, we will have a working capital relative to revenues of below 5%. And finally, I'd like to give you some details regarding the consolidation of Adwen. As regards the impact this has had on the profit and loss account, as you've seen, we've had a capital gain, a gross capital gain, which was 29 million euros positive as far as EBIT is concerned. And we have accumulated an equity accounted income from 50% of the Adwen result, and it's a negative. The figure is 17 million euros, and we've used an equity accounted system. And then there's an effect in the corporate tax, and this has arisen from the capital gains, because there's a tax expense of 28%, which is something like 8 million euros. And in the end, what we have is an increase in net profits of 4 million euros in this period of 9 months. And the Adwen activity during this period is focused on the lines that have already been mentioned in the past. We have finished installing the GT1 and BW2 projects that have provided us with the learning curve, and now we are fully focused on the execution and commission of the Vikingur project with 350 megawatts. And the manufacturing has just started at the blade plant and at Bremerhaven, and we're also developing the 8-megawatt machine, which is fundamental and which is the machine that has been used for the pipeline of 1,500 megawatts, and we have all the certifications up and running. And we are also carrying out a very significant amount of commercial activity in Europe and Asia, and this is all for the next few years. And now, Soviet, I would like to hand the floor back to you again. Well, yes, thank you. Well, as regards our outlooks, it has to be pointed out that the outlooks for 2015 are still intact, and the guidance will be maintained with a level of activity of about 2,300 megawatts. In other words, this means that we'll be in the high segment of the figure that was given some months ago, and revenues will total something like 3,400 million euros and an EBIT margin that's going to be equal to or in excess of 8%. And this profitable growth is based on the results already obtained the first 9 months, which, as we saw before, this increases our activity by 26% and revenues at 30% and the EBIT margin at 67%, which means that we have a percentage EBIT margin of 8.1%. And we've also maintained our guidance for our working capital below 5% and the CapEx relative to revenues, which will be something like 4%-5%. And all of this with an extreme control of capital consumption and of investments. But we also think that we'll be able to carry value. In other words, we'll reach ROCE that will be higher than the WACC plus 4 percentage points, and all this will be a reinstating payment of the dividend with a payout ratio that will be equal to or higher than 25%. And as regards the prospects for 2015, they're still intact, and as well as our commitments to as regards achieving the objectives of the business plan 2014-15. The solidity of the balance sheet and our profitable growth, which we have obtained in the first nine months, support the value creation projected in the business plan 2014-15. And the guidance is still being adhered to based on volume in equivalent megawatts of 3,500-3,800 megawatts and an EBIT margin that will be higher than 8% and a net EBIT which will multiply by 2 the net EBIT that was reached in the year 2014. So this profitable growth is supported, as we saw before, by 3 gigas in orders at the end of September and with an order intake of 4 gigas in the last 12 months, and then with a growth in the EBIT margin which now situates us above 8%. And then working capital relative to revenues will remain below 5%, and CapEx relative to revenues as regards the company in 2017 will be below 3.5%. This will be CapEx relative to revenues, and as regards the ROCE, it will grow in the period, and this means that we will create much more value for the company. And this, well, the business plan itself, the business plan 2015-17, is based on the technological leadership of Gamesa. That's one of its levers. So it's already demonstrated through the sales we've already had of the G114 2.0, 2.5, but also with our product plan that has been implemented in this business plan. We'll have access to 100% of the onshore market with the launching of all the platforms and our mainstream portfolio. We have 2 megawatts, 2.5 and 3.3, all of them according to the plan that has been established. And this will improve the access of Gamesa to the north of Europe, and it means that we'll be able to access new markets like Canada, Australia, or even South Africa. So access to 100% of the onshore markets is one of the platforms where the Gamesa leadership will be very clear in the next few years. And after the launch of the G114 2.5 and of the G106 2.5, we've launched the 2.5 platform with a rotor of 126 meters, which maximizes output at low wind site, which is key for bidding in competitive tenders in Europe. And all of this with a proven technology and with 20%-25% more of energy output with the arrival of these new rotors. We also have an excellent capacity factor and low cost of energy, and all of this has been optimized for low winds. But not only that, but there's also another important lever which for this business plan, which is related to our continuous leadership in emerging countries, always with differential strategies, with a strict risk control, as well as with local policies and local managers, and the adaptation of our products and the protection against currency fluctuations are the basis that Gamesa is basing its situation of leadership in emerging countries. Because in different environments, there are different strategies required, and the adaptability of Gamesa has already been demonstrated in recent years. And in India, where there's an environment of economic strength that has been supported by ambitious objectives in terms of renewables and a regulatory framework, it means that Gamesa has an investment strategy that is modular, that serves to consolidate its leadership. Because right now, it's a leadership in India that means that we have a share of the market of 33%, which is the current figure. And All of this is linked to the possible exploitation of opportunities in other renewable sources with profitability and synergies, and then in Mexico, and also with macroeconomic stability and with a very clear regulatory situation and with a commitment to renewables. It's 35% of renewables by 2023, and the strategy of GEMSA couldn't be other than maintaining and increasing, if possible, its position of leadership in Mexico. And this has to be supported by development activities, and we have to make use of the excellent connections that GEMSA has with all the major international utilities. And Brazil, its economic environment, well, suffice it to say that it's different. One of the current macroeconomic differences could limit our growth, but not within what has to do with the scope of the business plan beyond 2018. And we need to diversify the generation mix, which is something that also characterizes Brazil. Our strategy in Brazil is based on diversifying our customer base that we currently have by selecting projects with criteria of solvency and profitability, and all this maintaining the capacity of providing a stable supply. So these solid prospects, or a solid outlook, is also linked to growth in emerging countries. And as we can see, growth in terms of accumulated installations for the next 3 years from 15 to 17 represents an increase between 4 and 17% relative to the facilities we have for the three previous years. Although it's important to point out that growth in the three main markets of GEMSA accounts for a growth in installed megawatts in the period 2015 to 17, which could range between 59 to 81%. Higher than the megawatts installed in the period 2012-14. And in particular, in India, where GEMSA, I would like to repeat, has a position of leadership of about 33% of market share. The facilities that are going to be constructed in the next 3 years, 15 to 17, on average, we're talking about 3,000 megawatts. And the prospects are very clear, and so is the government's policy, so that these figures in later years can reach up to 5 gigas per year. And in Mexico, we're still waiting for the first auction to take place, which will take place in the first semester of 2016 for commissioning in 2018, but a market in which GEMSA also has a position of leadership. In 2015 and 2017, we're going to have an increase in the amount of installed megawatts, and it's going to be nearly 17%. In other words, it's going to be 1,100 megawatts, installed megawatts, and the remuneration system that is based on the production system could be one of the main elements for GEMSA in the future. And then in Brazil, well, the auctions are improving. At least they have improved in terms of the megawatts that are awarded. So it was 90, and now it's 539 in the last two auctions. And there's also a positive trend as regards the ceiling price that reaches 213 Brazilian reals per megawatt an hour, which is the remuneration that has been established for the upcoming auction. And just to conclude now, well, I think that the conclusions are very clear, because our results are in line with the commitments for 2015, and we know that there's a profitable growth trend which is in line with the commitments established with the business plan 15-17, and results in terms of growth, profitability and balance sheet in the first 9 months are fully in line with our guidance for 2015. GEMSA right now has increasing visibility. Never has it had such a degree of visibility in terms of the volumes committed in the business plan 15-17, thanks to what we saw before, our strengths in terms of commercial activities. So we have, for the last 12 months, from 25 countries, we have 4 gigawatts of orders. We have a coverage of 100% of our 2015 sales guidance, and this means that it's 42% more in the order intake year on year relative to September of 2014. As you can see, this is a profitable growth because the EBIT margin of the first 9 months represents an improvement of 1.8 percentage points relative to the EBIT of 1 year ago. So this is the result of the continuous improvement programs and also of our quality leadership programs. And the net debt at September of 2015 is 0.1 times EBITDA. And remember that we had more than 300 a year ago, so that means that we have a ratio of 0.1 times. And access to 100% of the onshore market with the launch of new platforms. Mainstream 2, 2.5, 3.3, three platforms that within the business plan 15-17, and we also have strong commitments to win which underpin the industry's future growth. Thank you. Let's move on now to the questions, to the QA session, please. Ladies and gentlemen, the questions may now start, so please go ahead. Please press 0 or 1 on your keypad. Thank you. The first question is going to be asked by Juan Canovas. Please go ahead, Mr. Canovas. Good evening. I have a couple of questions for you, or three in particular. I'm not sure if you could give us the order for the end of October. And as regards guidance for the year, you've been talking about 3,100, which means that there's a drop in megawatts in the fourth quarter relative to the third. That had never happened before. Perhaps you could say something about that. And then I wanted to ask you about the operations and maintenance business, because I have observed that the figure of megawatts is relatively modest in Q3. And perhaps you could give us a clue as to what is happening, because we've seen that there are competitors that only do maintenance, and they've announced some very strong increases in the portfolios. And I think that you mentioned what are you going to do to make this business more profitable, and I'm not sure if the EBIT margin has any restructuring costs included or not. Thank you. Good evening, Juan. Well, as regards we can't give you the order intake of the portfolio, but what has happened is that our order intake in the fourth quarter is fully in line with our expectations, and it's fully in line with our forecast too, and things are going well, so we're very happy about our order intake for October, as well as the forecast or the outlook we have for the quarter. But in regards to what you said about the 3,100 megawatts in activity, you said that this represents a decline. If it were 3,100, it would be less. Well, these 3,100 megawatts, this is the high range of the guidance we gave you some time ago, and we still maintain that we are still within this high range of guidance. But let's say that we feel comfortable with reaching this range of something like 3,100 megawatts. But in terms of operation and maintenance growth, you said that it was a very modest amount of growth, but we feel very proud of how operations and maintenance has worked, because we are working very hard to grow in terms of revenues and in terms of profitability compared to 2014, and the evolution of operations and maintenance is in line with the guidance we gave to the market for the year 2015. As regards one-digit growth in operations and maintenance and a slight amount of growth of the EBIT margin by reaching 12 or 30% of EBIT margins, so we're fully in line with the guidance, and we will fulfill the guidance in 2015, and we're also in line with the guidance we gave for the business plan 15-17, where we mentioned an increase in operations and maintenance from 2014 to 17 of 20% of growth, with an EBIT margin of operations and maintenance that was growing just a little bit without any substantial leaps. So we're line, and we are not including in these figures for operations and maintenance any non-recurrent special effects. So as soon as we include these recurrent effects or underlying effects, we'll report this back to the market as we've done in the past. And if you would allow me to, Nacho, I would like to make another comment here about this issue. And saying that we maintain guidance in a comfortable manner this year, that is not connected to the order intake for the fourth quarter, because those orders that are being received now are for the future, and they're not for activities in 2015. So next question, please. Should you wish to ask a question, please press either 0 or 1 on your keypads. And the next question is going to be asked by José Manuel Arroyo from Dexal. So please go ahead with your question. Good evening. I have 4 questions, if you would allow me. First, this has to do with the order portfolio. Could you please give me details? How much is for 2016 and how much is for 2017? That's the first question. The second question regarding the Brazilian market, could you quantify, well, your pipeline for 2016 and 2017, and tell me what level of coverage do you have in relation to your budget, where you expected there to be a slump in activities in 2017? And the third question, what do you think about the Spanish market and the Moroccan market? And I would like to know if Gamesa, do you have enough capacity to cover this demand now that the auctions are going to take place in Morocco and Spain? And what about the Mexican market? Could you give us a figure for market share once the new auctions start in Mexico? So are you going to maintain your current market share, or do you think that a new competition is going to arrive? Thank you. Thank you very much for your question, José Manuel. You didn't leave out any of the markets, so we're very grateful for that. But as regards the order book, the details for 2016 and 2017, we usually don't give you any information of this kind, because we, generally speaking, what we do explain is that in terms of the pipeline, well, those markets where we have more visibility and where we have an order intake that is based on the longer term, this is usually Brazil, and this is still the case, because the orders are received through 2 to 3 year auctions, so we have a much greater level of visibility. But as regards the rest of the markets, this really depends. This depends on each one of the markets, on each one of the orders, if it's orders for 16 or 17. But most of the pipeline we have right now, well, part of it is for 2015 to finish in Q4, and the main part of it has to do with the year 2016. And then the Brazilian market, year 2016-17, or perhaps this can be explained better by Xavier than me. Oh, yes, José Manuel, as you know, and as everybody else knows, the situation of the market in Brazil is severely affected by macroeconomic conditions. But within the 2015 to 17 period, we don't expect there to be a drastic reduction in the amount of megawatts installed fundamentally, because these megawatts come from auctions that took place 2 or 3 years ago in a completely different macroeconomic environment. But not only that, but Gamesa in Brazil has a significant position of leadership, and as we already announced at the CMD of a few months ago, we could have, well, based on a strict control of our clients, and as long as we have the right connection conditions, we could have a decrease of volumes in 2017. But right now, this has already been contemplated by the 2015-17 business plan, but the situation in Brazil for us is favorable, because we have still maintained our position of leadership there, and this is not going to change in 2016. Regarding the situation of the auctions in Spain and Morocco, well, we are obviously very anxious about this. We're waiting, because Gamesa has significant possibilities of obtaining good results in these two auctions. and we would not have to make any additional investments as regards to providing support to the auctions in Spain, but perhaps we would have to make some investments in the future auctions in Morocco, basically because of the significant volumes we're going to be dealing with, and we hope that we'll be able to develop some solutions within the decisions to be taken in Morocco over the next few months. As regards your question connected to Mexico, Gamesa, as you know, is a very outstanding leader in the Mexican market, and we trust and hope that the auctions will not change this position, but rather through the auctions, the position of Gamesa will be seriously improved so that we can maintain this position of leadership at least during the next few years. Next question, please. The next question comes from Fernando Lafuente from NM+1. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, everybody. I've got three very quick questions for you. One of them going back again to what you said about the pipeline, about growth figures. Perhaps you could give me a breakdown, but perhaps you could also explain what the volume is going to be like next year. We have data on 2017, and you said that growth could be very relevant in 2016. So perhaps could you say something about that in terms of volumes in 2016? And secondly, the impact. Could you please, where the FX comes from, and from what currency does that positive impact arise? And then finally, on the slide of the ASP, why, well, you've quantified the currency effect, but you've not quantified the geographic effect or the new product effect. So could you please give us some indication on both effects and how much they have been? Thank you very much.
Well, Fernando, good evening. Going to answer the question about the order intake, because we've already mentioned this, but let's see if I can be a little bit more specific about this. Yes, well, we do not give the order book separately or separated by years or broken down by years, but what I can say is that the coverage of orders we're going to receive by the end of the year for 2016 is going to be higher than the level of coverage we had last year in the same period of the year, that is, in the month of December. And before, we said that we are in line as regards fulfilling what we said in June during the Capital Market Day, because this year we're going to be comfortably in the higher segment of the guidance. So I think that this is a very reasonable indication of the fact that next year, and we will give guidance like we do every year, once we present the closure of 2015, in other words, in February, we'll give you the guidance, but this will be guidance where we will feel very comfortable and will be able to reach the figures that we reached and mentioned in the month of June. Well, as regards the impact, the positive currency impact, the 70 basis points in that EBIT bridge or in that EBIT chart that I presented to you before, this is fundamentally due to the fact that those currencies that have fluctuated most compared to last year are the dollar. Well, those that affect us most are the dollar and the rupee that have had positive movements, because the dollar has appreciated and the rupee has depreciated 18 and 14% respectively relative to the average figure of the 9 months of 2014, which is the main positive effect. And the negative effect comes from the real, but in the case of the Brazilian real, we have a coverage of 80% on average for the negative effect, because there's been a depreciation of the real of 14% in those 9 months compared to the 9 months of last year. And this negative effect of the real, if we were not covered at this level of 80%, the impact would have been stronger, and this would have reduced these 70 base points to 30 or something like that. So it doesn't have such a significant effect. So we're talking about 70 base points, and well, this comes from the dollar and from the rupee. And then the other question was the breakdown of the effect produced by the geographic mix and the mix of platforms. Well, the truth is, I don't have the figures in front of me. I don't have the details connected to each one of these effects, or how much the mix was, or how much the platform was. But we do have the contribution margin figure of 0.3 percentage points, which is what worsened the situation. Or let's say that these are the details that we have given until now, until this point in time. Next question, please. There are no more questions in Spanish. Let's move on now to the questions in English. Thank you very much.
The first question comes from Luke Catry from Societe Generale. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. I have three questions, if I may. Maybe just to flog a dead horse, but just on the guidance, given how strong 9-month results have been, and given your confidence on Q4 order intake, it seems that your full year guidance on orders and also on sales is pretty conservative, because if I just back out, let's say, 3.4 billion of sales versus what you've done in the 9 months, then it seems that in Q4 you should actually have a decline in sales year on year, and order intake should be pretty much flat year on year. Now, I understand you probably are a bit cautious, but are there any moving parts or are there any factors that make you cautious that we should keep in mind? Or is it just the general conservativeness that you have, let's say, displayed since the beginning of the year? That's question number one. Question number two, working capital has probably gone up a bit higher than what we would normally see on a seasonal basis, or perhaps what we saw on a seasonal basis last year. We've also seen the same sort of trend at one of the competitors, and they sort of commented that it's harder to retain very low levels of working capital that we've seen in the past. Is it a trend that you are seeing as well, that it's basically becoming harder and harder to improve working capital from where you are? And also, has there been any change in prepayment terms or payment terms from customers? So that's question number two. And the last question from my side is, there's been some turmoil amongst yieldcos, particularly in the U.S., due to financing issues and so on. Could you just comment on how large they are for Gamesa within the backlog and within Q3 orders? And are you seeing discussions with them being different now versus, say, 3 to 5 months ago? Thank you.
Okay. What I understood is if we are really conservative or not when we give the guidance, and if that is not the case, is there any impact in Q4 that could make things change? Well, as I pointed out in my introductory words, we made guidance in the month of February with an increase of EBIT margin of about 50%, and we have not changed the guidance in recent times, and that is our policy. We never make any changes, and what I can confirm is that there is no extraordinary impact in any regard, neither in favor or against, in the case of Q4. So, in other words, as I pointed out before, we will reach the guidance in a comfortable manner, which is what we said from the very beginning. Well, as regards the working capital, well, in fact, yes, there has been a slight increase in Q3 relative to Q2 in this fiscal year. And as we've already explained in the past, working capital has a certain amount of volatility because of the size of the collections and payments, and this is nothing special. But I would like to underscore that the average working capital of the 9-month period of 2014 compared to the 9 months of this year has gone down from 16 to 10%, the average working capital. So yes, we are achieving a significant decrease in the working capital and in the use of the resources that had to be applied to working capital throughout the year 2015.
And in the comparative analysis relative to other competitors that you were pointing out, but the comparison is very complex with our competition because we also do our own benchmarking exercises. But we believe that this also depends to a large extent on the business model, and this depends on the geographic presence that we can have a different situation compared to the competition, and also in terms of vertical integration, because we have also integrated certain components that other people don't have. So in other words, it's a very complex thing to compare ourselves with anybody else. But if in the case of the data of last year, at the end of the year, if we were to eliminate the working capital we had in terms of promotional and development in India, as well as in the land banks and in other parts of the world, we'd then be removing something like 100 million euros from our working on capital, which means that we would end up with a negative working capital as the competition has too. But it's not about making this extensive comparison either, because as I said, there are impacts that have to do with the geographical areas and vertical integration, and also because we have a lot of activity, which is very important if you want to sell in certain markets. We have lots of promotion and development activities involved. But what we see is that our working capital relative to revenues is sustainable in the long term, and it's a working capital that is below 5%, and we are still standing at that level of that figure. And our business model and our company model, I don't think that we're going to have a significant negative working capital in the future as applies to others, because that is not sustainable, and for us in those countries in which we operate, it's not possible. So there are no changes in the conditions of payment with the customers. We have customers with terms of payment that are solid, and we've continuously analyzed our collections, and there are no special delays in collections from customers, and there's nothing exceptional to be mentioned there. And the last question has to do with the G-Post and the impact that they have. Gamesa, well, the specific question is, how much does this represent for our sales? Well, these G-Posts do not represent, well, they really account for a very small part of our order intake, and I'd say that percentually this would tend towards zero, although we do have some small orders from some G-Posts. But what we do have is a framework agreement, as we already published, towards the middle of the year with SunEdison, which is to jointly develop, well, it's an agreement of intentions, basically to jointly develop 1,000 megawatts in the next few years. And this development agreement that we are now still working on, so that we can carry out in full this agreement of intentions, but in any case, it would become active as from the year 2018, and it would be an additional activity that is additional to the normal and usual activity that Gamesa is carrying out. So there's nothing special, nothing else that is special that should be mentioned about that. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Pinaki Das from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got, again, three questions. The first one is on, in Q3, did you have any, I think you mentioned product costs, and I guess there must have been some FX-related costs as well. Can you explain to us how much your Q3 EBIT and net income was impacted by any of these product-related costs or FX, and do you expect them to continue in the future? For example, you're launching the 3.3 megawatts. Does that have an impact later on as well? My second question is just relating to 2017. Now, I think I've asked you before about this, but you are at 3.1 gigawatt volumes in 2015 with 8% margin. You are at least 10% to 20% higher on volumes for 2017. Why is your margin for 2017 only 8%? Is it too conservative? And lastly, the third question is just on industry margins. Your peer Vestas has talked about 9%-10% margins this year. I understand there are some geographic as well as FX differences, but can you give us any sort of indication of whether, you know, what is your aspiration as Gamesa, considering your emerging market exposure as well? You know, what level can we get to, you know, because, you know, you're already at 8% in 2015, and clearly you'll be doing higher margin, higher volumes in 2016-17. Those are my three questions.
As regards to the first question, what I understood is in Q3, we're talking about the effects produced by the increase in the cost of products, and I suppose that this has to do with the comments that have been made that we have an impact in the launch of new products and that we're not meeting the standard. But in Q3, the deviation relative to the standard because of the launch of new products is significantly lower than what we had in the first half of the year, because the introduction of the G114 machine and the commissioning of factories in Brazil and India took place in the first months of the year, and that's when we had the biggest deviations as regards the cost of the product standard. And now in Q3, the impact is significantly lower because we are operating more according to the standard. But in any case, I'd like to remind you that our continuous improvement activities, with the continuous improvement of variable costs and with the 915 program, as well as the continuous improvement program, this allows us to counteract these negative effects that may occur so that we can compensate them and correct them completely. As regards the impact of the exchange rate in Q3, well, in the case of Q3, at 6 months, at halfway through the year, we had something like 80 to 85 basic points of the impact of the currency. And then in Q3, it was 70 base points. So in Q3, the influence of the exchange rate is lower. So we're talking about something like 45 base points in impact of the exchange rate effect relative to 2014. So it means that this effect is reduced compared to the figure reported for last year. Yes, and as regards the question as to the guidance we've given for the 2015 or 17 or for 2017, is this guidance conservative considering what 2015 is looking like as regards our results in terms of order intakes? I would like to refer to what I said at the very beginning of the introduction, that is that things are going well, and that is that orders are arriving, and that cost management is going well, and the launch of new products, as Xavier has pointed out, is also fully in line with our outlook. So this means that we feel comfortable. We feel comfortable, and we know that we're going to reach the guidance that we have for volume between 3.5 and 3.8 gigawatts, and also as regards an EBIT margin in excess of 8%. And we've also mentioned in the past that this industry, well, that we analyze ourselves as a function of different product mixes and different geographies and different currency situations too, and in terms of volumes in a given year. So we, in these good years, with EBIT margins close to 10%, and in those years that are not that good, with smaller volumes, with margins that are closer to 8%. So we feel, as I said before, we have to ratify the guidance for 15 to 17, and as the fiscal years goes, we know that we're going to be in a very comfortable position. And in the previous period, 13 to 15, well, 1 year before, we managed to achieve the objective that we set, and we said, okay, well, right now what we are saying is that our guidance from 15 to 17 is fully in force, and that we will reach in this situation a very comfortable manner.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, as regards comparison with the competition, because I'm not going to be talking about the competition. What I can do, however, is tell you about what we see at Gamesa. And as I said before, we see that the margins are going to range between 8 and 10% in the positive circumstances in markets where there's a big exposure to the dollar. If we were to have it right now, we would be facing some very special circumstances. But there's no reason, really, because Gamesa, from the point of view of industrial management and from the point of view of cost management and from the point of view of launching new products and chains of supply, we consider ourselves to be world-class. Next question.
The next question comes from Fu Wendt from Citigroup. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, it's Hook from Citi. Thanks for taking my question. The first one is about the Indian market. So you've seen very strong order inflow from that market in the quarter. Maybe can you explain the margins on these projects? Are they very similar to the margins that you see in the group level at the moment? And then secondly, compared to other pure plays in India, such as Inox, do you think you can reach similar margin levels as they have, sort of double-digit margins? The second question is on solar EPC. That's an area I understand that you're very keen on pushing into. The solar EPC companies that I'm looking at, they do sort of low single-digit EBIT margins. Do you think there's a risk of margin dilution once you take on these activities in the longer term?
Well, as regards to the question on India, the order intake we've had in Q3 in India is very positive, and it reflects the growth we've had in terms of volume and market share. This is what Gamesa is having in this market. And as I mentioned before, our position of leadership represents a market share of 33%, and Gamesa is working very hard to increase demand in this country. So the growth targets in India are very ambitious, which is what Gamesa set out to achieve at the beginning of the year, and I know that this is going to be fulfilled according to the guidance that we've given to the market. And then the margins that we have in India are good margins, and they are fully in line with the margins we have in other markets. And this is not something you can achieve from one day to the next, because India is a difficult country. It's an emerging country where many people want to operate, but it's not at all easy to penetrate. And it's a country where the chain of supply and where contacts and knowing the market well are absolutely fundamental, because Gamesa has achieved a position of leadership and profitability in India after many years of some very hard work based on an extraordinary knowledge of the market and also capability to carry out promotional work, which right now reaches more than 3 gigawatts and a chain of supply with regionalization or with a capacity of making 80% of our supplies with local contents and local currency. So we already have the foundations in place, and we trust and hope that growth in India will be one of the main levers for the growth of Gamesa too. And now moving on to the Inox margins. Well, as you know, this company, our policy is not to discuss margins, and nor do we talk about the competition. Now, saying something else about Inox, what I'd say is that the margins we have in Gamesa India, as Savit pointed out, they are good and they are comparable to what we have in the rest of the world. And prices in India are extraordinarily competitive, but the cost management we have there for variable costs as well as for fixed costs allow us to have margins that are very similar to what we have in the rest of the regions where Gamesa operates. And as regards to the final question that has to do with the EPC solar, yes, identify this in the 15 to 17 business plan as one of the possible, and I'd like to underscore the word possible levers for growth that we could have as from the year 2018. And I'm going to explain why we say that it is a possible or potential lever. We still do not have it very clear in our minds if there can really be any profitability, and if there can be any volume. Well, there is a volume, that is very clear, because solar power is growing a lot. India is one of the countries where they're really putting their stakes on developing solar power, and what we have decided to do is to focus on this country. But what we said is that we were going to do this very cautiously, because we do not want to have volume sacrificing our profitability. We must understand that what we can provide our customers with, our customers should be willing to pay for that. And for that, we said that we were going to carry out an EPC branding, a high-quality EPC, because we are technologist people from the point of view of promotion and development, and we are able to work on issues of evacuation and on land acquisition, and we can also work in the field of EPCs. We manufacture inverters at Gamesa, and we can also do operations and maintenance. So with all of these characteristics, we believe that there could be a possibility. Until now, we have attracted only a few megawatts, just a little bit, only 10 megawatts, and we are learning with this. So there are some interesting possibilities, and next year regards this issue, but these will not be significant things until we are truly convinced that there is profitability in this business, and that what Gamesa is offering is something that customers are willing to pay for.
La siguiente pregunta.
The next question comes from Sean McLaughlin from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you for taking my questions. Good evening. In three from me, I'll hope to be quick. Firstly, in your EBIT margin bridge, you include that the sales mix included lower O&M contribution. What can you tell us about the project mix in Q3? Secondly, an update on land banks. Are you having any issues in replenishing your portfolio of land banks? You talked about 3 gigawatts in June, and you're obviously accelerating sales in 2016. Are you able to keep, are you kind of eating through your backlog there? And I think just going back to, I think, the guidance, I'm a little confused at how conservative you're being, particularly in Q4. Am I to understand that despite, so that you've effectively not received any orders for 2015 until since very early in the year, therefore everything that you have booked has been for 2016 and beyond, so we should effectively discard 2015 and look really at how constructively your order intake in Q3, another gigawatt of order, is impacting 2016. Could you in any way quantify? You said you have better coverage at this stage versus last year looking forward. Can you quantify that, please?
Well, as regards the EBIT bridge, how much is the product mix and how much is the sales mix, etc., etc.? Well, I think that it's very similar. This question is very similar to what we answered before. We don't really have the details. We don't have the details of how much is project mix and how much is geographic mix. But what we can see is that in the contribution margin, there's an effect of 0.3 percentage points or impact on the contribution margin. And this impact on the contribution margin is influenced by different effects. They compensate each other, and in the end, it's 0.3%. That's the final figure. And well, as regards the situation of the pipeline in India, well, what I would like to point out is that our pipeline is still under development, and it's still growing, and always in line with the growth of demand, and also in line with the orders that we're contracting. And right now, the pipeline that we are managing for sales within the scope of the 15 to 17 business, objectives that we've set for that particular period of time. And then as regards our commercial activity and the order intake, well, this is something that we also tried to answer before. And, well, the order intake is being positive during this fiscal year. It's been extremely positive, and we consider that the same will apply to Q4 of this year. So that means that by the time the year is over, we'll have an order intake where a significant part, as we mentioned before, is going to be for 2016, and then another part will be for the year 2017. But what we can say, because if we didn't say this before, because this is information that we'll submit when in February when we have the complete guidance, but what we can see is that guidance for next year and visibility for next year is superior to what we had last year at this height of the fiscal year. So if this continues, if this trend continues, which we think will be the case by the time we reach December, the degree of coverage we'll have for the following year and visibility will be higher than what we had 1 year before for the year 2015. Next question, please.
There are no further questions. Thank you.
Well, before closing this conference, first of all, I would like to thank you all for being here tonight. And we're now going to give the floor to the President, Mr. Ignacio Martín, so that he can draw some very brief conclusions. It's been a very lengthy conference. I'm not going to say very much, but as we pointed out at the beginning, we are in line. We are fully in line with what we've said until now. And that is, all of these things are developing according to plan. And from the point of view of order intake, we have a very good level of intake, and it has been good, or it is good, in Q4. Then we have the launching of new products, as Xavier has pointed out, the new rotors and the new platform of 3.3. Opens up many possibilities to reach out to many markets. And from the point of view of cost management, both fixed and variable costs, everything is on track. And our exposure in the different currencies, I think that you'll be able to see this. And regardless, or in spite of the situation in emerging markets, it is a situation in which we've carried out some very significant management actions for this impact to be a limited impact, which is in this part of the year. And then we have EPC solar or off-grid, for instance, or we also have the potential growth of offshore. Well, they are also continuing along their own respective paths. And then we have some additional things that could come along, like specific tenders in Morocco and Spain. There are possibilities, but we have not included them in our business plan. So what I believe, therefore, is that things are going well, that Gamesa is one of the leaders in this industrial sector, and what we trust and hope is that when we give the guidance in February of 2016, for the year 2016, this guidance will be absolutely in line with the 15 to 17 business plan that we gave to the market some time ago. Thank you all very much for your attention. Goodbye.